This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The death of a cultural icon. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, September 28th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Hugh Hefner, founder of Playboy, has died. He was 91. We'll have a look at his social and business life.
Republicans have released more details about their plan to overhaul the tax code. Hear how President Trump pitched it in Indiana.
The U.S. military is rushing aid to Puerto Rico as the crisis following Hurricane Maria grows more dire.
And young adults, saddled with student debt, are getting a helping hand from builders eager to sell them their first home.
So their offer is essentially, if you buy a house from us, we'll take 3% of the purchase price and we will use it to pay down your loan. Supposedly, you know, strings attached, it doesn't increase the purchase price directly. It doesn't increase the amount of the mortgage. It's just essentially an incentive to try to get people to buy.
Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Casisto on the new offer from Lennar. She's here in about 20 minutes. Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy magazine, has died in his home of natural causes at the age of 91. Here's this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Chicago Tribune says when he was 8 years old, Mr. Hefner started a school newspaper called The Pepper, despite a warning from a concerned teacher that if he continued, he'd never amount to anything. The empire began on the south side of Chicago, where in 1953 he laid out the pages for the first issue. The magazine would become one of the most recognizable brands of the 20th century, including the bunny ears. His concept was to present the image of a worldly and well-read man surrounded by beautiful women, cars, and gadgets. He initially wanted to call the magazine Stag Party. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Even in death, Hef is associated with beauty. In 1992, he paid $75,000 to obtain the vault next to Marilyn Monroe, thereby ensuring he could spend eternity with Playboy's first cover girl. President Trump and GOP leaders have proposed sharply reducing tax rates on businesses and many individuals, and so begins a major legislative push to overhaul the nation's tax code this year. The framework released yesterday sketched out a range of tax changes, things like lower taxes on corporate profits, incentives for business investment, and fewer and lower individual income tax brackets. Republicans say the plan will boost economic growth and benefit middle-income families. Mr. Trump made a pitch for it in Indiana.
We're also expanding the child tax credit because we believe the most important investment our country can make is in our children.
Democrats criticized the plan as a giveaway to the rich because a number of the proposed changes, including lower business tax rates and a repeal of the estate tax, would disproportionately benefit higher earners. Under the GOP proposal, the corporate tax rate would fall from 35 to 20%. And the top rate on individuals could drop from 39.6 to 35%. The working poor people could owe no income tax. Filing a return could get much simpler, and there would even be a new credit for caring for elderly relatives under this tax framework being proposed by President Trump and Republican leaders in Congress. More on what's in it from Herb Jackson now, Washington correspondent at The Record in New Jersey. Herb, what are we learning?
We've got more details than we've had all year, and there seems to be broad agreement between the White House and the leaders of the House and Senate on the Republican side to sharply contract the number of brackets. We right now have 7 brackets. This would take it down to 3. The lowest bracket would be 12, whereas right now it's 10, but apparently a lot of people who are in the 10% bracket right now would be dropped off entirely. They wouldn't owe income tax at all, because they're going to also almost double the standard deduction, which is the amount you subtract before you figure out if you owe any tax. There's a big corporate change coming where the top rate is going to come down from 35% to 20%, and there's going to be a special rate, which they haven't told us yet, to get companies that have money parked with overseas subsidiaries to bring it back. The president believes that'll lead to creating jobs. Some of the critics on the liberal side are saying that'll just drive up dividends to people who, the wealthy people who own stocks. It's also going to get rid of the alternative minimum tax and the estate tax, which are largely paid by very wealthy people. There will be some middle class enhancements. The child tax credit is going to be increased. We don't know how much, and they're also going to change the brackets that qualify for that. If you have a child tax credit right now, it starts to phase out as you get richer. They were going to be increasing that, and they're going to create a new credit of about $500 for non-child dependents. So if you're caring for an elderly parent, for example, you would get some help on your taxes.
This sounds along the lines of something you brought up in the story where you said, as liberal groups decry a giveaway to those at the top, Mr. Trump will sell the plan as a boost for working families. Is that part of that?
That is the way we're going to see this play out now in the next couple of months. And you've got a lot of groups that have been formed to try and run advertising to convince especially congressmen and senators in key states that they need to vote for it, or at least convince their voters that they need to convince their congressmen to vote for it. A big change for my readers, especially in New Jersey and people in states like New York and California, Connecticut, is that they're going to get rid of the state and local tax deduction. So there you can write off your state income tax, your local property tax, off of your federal return. The Association of Realtors says people use that when they figure out how much they want to pay for a house. So if you lose that deduction, potentially the value of your house could go down because people wouldn't be as willing to pay as much for it if they don't get a little something back from Uncle Sam.
Right.
So that's going to be a big battleground. I'm hearing already that there was a fight, some heated discussion about this during a Republican retreat on this, but there's a lot of states that don't benefit from this as much as some of the big blue states that didn't vote for Trump. So we don't know where that's going to end up.
We're speaking with Herb Jackson, Washington correspondent at The Record in New Jersey. It's part of the USA Today network, and he's written a piece entitled How President Trump's Tax Plan Affects You and What We Still Don't Know About It. All right, so you mentioned homes. What about the old the mortgage deduction?
Well, you know, you will still be able to deduct mortgage interest and charitable contributions, but like it is now, you can only deduct them if you itemize. Well, when the standard deduction was only $6,000 or $12,000, well, your mortgage interest in your property taxes or something like that, it probably pushed you into where it was beneficial to itemize. They're going to take the standard deduction for a married couple up to $24,000, and it might not be worth it to itemize anymore. So therefore, you really won't get a tax break for your mortgage interest. Some groups representing nonprofits are now worried that that'll lead to less giving to charities and to nonprofits, because people won't be getting the tax benefit from it. So it's really going to be an interplay between those things. You obviously can't give people a big standard deduction and let them take itemizes from other things. But the bigger you make the standard one, the less value you make the itemized one.
Thanks, Herb. Herb Jackson, Washington correspondent at The Record in New Jersey. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. How would you like the convenience of joining a group cycling class whenever you want, right in your own home? Skip the commute to the gym, join live rides on the Peloton indoor cycling bike, or choose a ride on demand based on your favorite music. You can even choose your favorite world-class instructor. There are also dozens of on-demand scenic rides and additional off-bike workouts. The Peloton bike includes a 22-inch high-def touchscreen, performance tracking metrics, and a real-time leaderboard. In fact, see if you're working harder than me. My screen name is Radio Guy Gordon. Discover this cutting-edge indoor cycling bike that brings the studio experience to your home. Peloton is offering listeners a limited-time offer. Go to PelotonCycle.com, enter the code GORDONDEAL at checkout, and get 20% off accessories with your Peloton bike purchase. Get a great workout at home anytime you want. Go to PelotonCycle.com, use the code GORDONDEAL, and get started. Glad you could join us on this Thursday. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. The Trump administration is rushing military hardware and personnel to Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. In the first 6 days after the hurricane made landfall, the Navy had deployed just two ships, citing concerns that Puerto Rico's ports were too damaged to accommodate numerous large vessels. But the Washington Post says harrowing reports of isolated U.S. citizens struggling in the heat without electricity and running low on food and water have spurred the Pentagon to throw resources into the relief effort. Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rossello.
We need to make sure that those resources get here as quickly as possible, recognizing that it is slower than the traditional process because of our the condition of being an island.
The more robust approach includes the deployment of the USNS Comfort, a hospital ship that has responded to other natural disasters. Puerto Rican officials said that 10 military vessels are en route to the island and that half should arrive within 48 hours. A ship did arrive Tuesday with 262,000 barrels of fuel for gas stations. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon Hugh Hefner, who turned silk pajamas into a work uniform, women into centerfolds, and sexual desire into a worldwide multimedia empire, has died at the age of 91. With Playboy, he helped slip sex out of the confines of plain brown wrappers and into mainstream conversation. In 1953, Hefner published the first issue of Playboy featuring naked photos of Marilyn Monroe and an editorial promise of humor, sophistication, and spice. How to pay for an estimated $5.6 trillion tax cut is now the question facing President Trump and Republican congressional leaders. Some of the cost will be covered by removing certain tax breaks, but the breaks wouldn't come close to paying the full cost. Trump says his plan is simpler.
Under our framework, the vast majority of families will be able to file their taxes on a single sheet of paper.
Possibly gone would be people's ability to deduct state and local taxes as well as eligible medical expenses. President Trump says he's not happy with his top health official putting Tom Price's job in jeopardy after his costly charter flights triggered a congressional investigation of administration travel. Asked whether he's planning on firing Price, Trump said, "We'll see." Meanwhile, the EPA confirmed that Administrator Scott Pruitt took at least one chartered flight and multiple government flights that cost taxpayers more than $58,000. Rick Pitino couldn't survive another scandal, with interim Louisville president Greg Postal placing the coach on administrative leave amid a nationwide federal bribery investigation that has rocked college basketball.
While this may be a dark day for the University of Louisville, better days are ahead.
Postal's decision came after the school acknowledged Tuesday that the program is part of a federal investigation into alleged bribery of recruits. Also ousted was Louisville's athletic director, Tom Jurich. When it comes to serving poultry and meat products from suppliers that don't feed their livestock antibiotics, the fast food industry is making progress, but there's still room for improvement. 14 of the 25 largest chains get a passing grade from Consumer Reports, with Chipotle and Panera Bread the only two to get an A grade. But 11 chains got an F rating, including Applebee's, Buffalo Wild Wings, Cracker Barrel, Domino's, and Olive Garden.
Wow. What if you, though, were to wash those products down with a beer? Because alcohol can kill germs and such sometimes. So I might have to conduct my own study.
Good luck with that.
Come on over. 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Student loan debt has been an obstacle for many potential home buyers, as you've probably heard. Now the home building company Lennar is trying to do something about it. A subsidiary called Eagle Home Mortgage yesterday introduced a program under which Lennar will pay off a significant chunk of the student loan of a borrower who purchases a home from them. It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Casisto. Laura, what's the offer?
So their offer is essentially, if you buy a house from us, we'll take 3% of the purchase price, and we will use it to pay down your loan. Supposedly, you know, strings attached. It doesn't increase the purchase price directly. It doesn't increase the amount of the mortgage. It's just essentially an incentive to try to get people to buy.
Jeez, no strings?
No, certainly no strings directly attached. They're not going to, it's not going to increase the size of your mortgage, yeah. Nothing like that. But obviously the question that consumer advocates have is, over time, does this end up just getting baked into the price of the home?
Yeah.
We saw this during the last boom when builders would make a payment towards your down payment, and essentially what ended up happening was it was just one of the many things that inflated home prices.
Wow. So are what types of homes, I guess? Like, this is... And I got so many questions. What types of homes, I guess?
So definitely the new home. You have to buy a new home. It has to be from Lennar. So it's certainly a bit of a sales tactic for them. And new homes tend to be a little bit more expensive. So these probably aren't going to be people who are buying at the very bottom end. But, you know, the couple who I spoke with, they were, you know, kind of pretty average working class couple. And they were looking to get a couple extra bedrooms for their kids and were able to basically pay down all the loans that she had from being from training to be a medical assistant.
Oh my goodness! So, how much debt could that amount to? Are there any limits?
Yeah, there's a limit of about $13,000 or 3% of the price of the home. So, you know, if you're $60,000 in debt, they're not going to solve your problems overnight. But if you've just got that little sort of nagging debt hanging on, and you know, the idea is for a lot of people, if they already have some debt, it's a big psychological barrier to homeownership. Even if they could afford the monthly payment, they just think, wow, I'm already $20,000 in debt, and they're going to add another $100,000 to that. And I think the idea is to kind of capture those people.
Okay. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal housing reporter Laura Casisto. Her piece is called Home Builder Lures Millennials with Offer to Help Pay Their Student Loans. It's a program from Lennar. You write, too, the evidence is mixed as to whether student debt is acting as a meaningful barrier to home ownership. Explain what's being said on that front.
Yeah, I think student debt, I mean, certainly if I talk to my friends, I think if you talk to lots of people you know, I mean, people will definitely tell you that they feel like they can't buy a house because of their student loans. But what doesn't often get taken into account is the income boost that you get from going to college. So people who do take on a lot of student debt and don't finish their degree, we definitely see that they're less likely to own a home. What's a little bit more complicated is if you do finish your degree and you get this income boost, you make a lot more than if you hadn't gone to college. Usually for most people, that does seem to balance out and they eventually do buy a home.
Thanks, Laura. Wall Street Journal housing reporter Laura Casisto. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, September 28. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Playboy founder Hugh Hefner has died at 91. Help for the middle class outlined in Republican plans to overhaul the tax code. U.S. military rushing aid to Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria. Twitter executives meeting with Congress members today over Russian meddling in the election. Woman dragged off a Southwest flight over a dog allergy dispute. Packers have asked fans attending the Bears game tonight to lock arms during the national anthem at Lambeau. And Deshaun Watson's generous donation to hurricane victims. That story in about 20 minutes. All right, here's a question for you. What would you say are the biggest threats to the economy the next 6 months? North Korea? Politics in Washington? Interest rate hikes? A new survey from Bankrate.com finds the political environment in D.C. is the biggest threat. Here's Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at Bankrate. Greg, what's being said?
Well, you know, we've asked this question a couple of times, and what continues to bubble to the top, and by a pretty wide margin, is the political environment in Washington. That's really the top concern. You know, people feel consistently better and more secure with regard to their finances, but the top worry continues to be that it'll be Washington that runs us into the ditch, more so than worries about rising interest rates or a sharp drop in the stock market. And that's interesting because back in January, when we ask consumers about interest rates specifically, about their worries, half of Americans said they were worried about rising interest rates, but relative to concerns about developments on the international scene with North Korea or the political environment in Washington, those concerns about interest rates barely register.
Wow. And so did it drill down into what part of the political environment they meant? Did they mean like inertia by Congress or bad legislation?
Well, I think it's all of the above in the sense that, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, infighting, a lot of promises, not a lot of action, you know, and I think, you know, all of that is, you know, it just kind of, you know, we see that that continues to strike a chord with consumers that, you know, they see some economic risk, whether it's a, you know, a misstep or, you know, or just, you know, the fact that we haven't seen things like infrastructure spending, what, you know, or, you know, to this point, we haven't seen the tax reform yet that, you know, markets have been expecting for nearly a year now. So, I think there's a compilation of factors that come into play. But then, what also we've seen increase, particularly in the last 6 months, are the concerns about international developments. The threat posed by North Korea is the second most common concern, and it's increasingly common relative to where we had seen those international developments 6 or 12 months ago.
Interesting. So where does North Korea stand at this point?
Well, the political environment in Washington was the top choice with 36%. The threat posed by North Korea was second at 24%, and even that was more than double the next highest, which was a tie between those ever-present concerns about terrorism and rising interest rates, each with just 10%.
We're speaking with Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com. They've got a new survey on the biggest threats to the U.S. economy the next 6 months. We're checking out what folks are saying. How about generationally? How did that break down?
Well, you know, when we look at it on the basis of you know, age, again, that top concern, political environment, Washington, carried across all age groups. Where we noticed the difference among the age groups was in what was the second most common choice. And so while the concern about North Korea was the second most common choice for most age groups, that wasn't the case for millennials, and in particular younger millennials. They actually had that in fourth place on their list behind worries about terrorism and rising interest rates.
Wow. Where do these numbers go from here? Any way to tell?
Well, I mean, you know, I think from a, you know, the standpoint of the political environment in Washington, I mean, you know, that's one that continues to resonate. I mean, a year ago, when we asked consumers what they saw as the biggest threat to the economy, over 60% said the outcome of the presidential election. So, you know, there's definitely a political tone to where consumers see risk with regard to the economy. And the only really substantive change we've seen in that period of time on some of those others has been concerns about developments on the international scene. A year ago, the worries about international economies infecting the U.S. barely registered. But now, whether we've looked at things like political or economic stability, or now specifically the threat posed by North Korea, we see those concerns continuing to rise every 6 months.
As a chief financial analyst, do you find that the fears of D.C. politics are justified in terms of it being able to upset the U.S. economy?
Well, I think it would take, you know, something, you know, significant from a misstep standpoint.
Thanks, Greg. Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com. Hey, reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm with your cornflakes, you can follow me directly on Twitter @GordonDeal. Thanks for being with us. It is Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, in a follow-up to a story we told you about yesterday, it looks like Carson Wentz is going to pay up. You'll remember that the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback was caught on microphone saying that if rookie kicker Jake Elliott booted an improbable 61-yard field goal to beat the Giants on Sunday, he'd give Elliott his game check, a nifty sum of over $31,000 before taxes. Afterward, the revelation of Wentz's promise, there was speculation as to whether the QB would pay up and hand over his paycheck to the kicker. Turns out he will, but in a different way, saying he doesn't regret agreeing to let the NFL release the footage of his exuberance. Wentz says the money will be donated to a charity of Elliott's choice. Wentz also says he doesn't regret making the promise, saying it was a cool moment that he's glad that they have on film.
He doesn't regret it?
He says he does not regret it. Yes, he says, yeah. You know, it's a cool moment. Everybody, the afterglow is still there, right? Right? They haven't played another game yet. There hasn't been a loss. The season is still young. Mm-hmm. So, you know, who knows? If it's a long, tough season for the team, I don't know. Maybe he'd want to have some of that money back.
I think the first thing that Carson Wentz did was to go consult like a tax expert, because yeah. I think that is what has happened here.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Donate it to charity. Better for tax purposes.
That's right.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. That's a smart idea.
I wonder who captured the audio, because the NFL has people in place specifically to capture these types of things. There are two guys who sit behind me at Giants games when I do the announcing there. And they are, believe it or not, sworn to secrecy. Because they have access to guys who are mic'd up on the offensive line.
Yes.
So they can hear the plays that are called in the huddle and such.
Boy.
And I asked them once, I thought, yeah, but what do you guys hear? And they jokingly said they could not even talk about it. They were sworn to secrecy, which surprised me, but I guess that's... They have too much access to stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he knew he was on microphone, and he knew that something, you know, that came out, and, you know, he said, look, it was in the moment, and, you know, there's nothing I could do about it.
The passion of sports.
But they did ask him before they put it out there, though. He did say that.
Okay.
He agreed to it. He said, you know, it's a great moment. It's got to be out there.
I got to agree.
And, Gordon, you know, we've been asking this for years, but this time it's for real. Has the pumpkin spice food trend finally gone too far? The latest food to be spiced up and draw the ire of Americans is pizza. Jimmy Kimmel, who now that the GOP health care bill is dead, is free to go back to joking again, is among those unhappy about the restaurant chain Via Italian Kitchen serving up a pumpkin-infused pie.
Whether or not you think pumpkin spice is good on pizza, I think we can all agree that pumpkin spice is not good on pizza, okay?
The chain responded to Kimmel's comments on Facebook, saying that they respectfully disagree with the host and challenged him to try their awesome pumpkin spice pizza for himself. Despite the hype surrounding pumpkin spice, we may have already hit peak pumpkin. That's an easy one to say, as the growth in sales for pumpkin-flavored products have slowed this year, according to the global data firm Nielsen. The group does predict, however, that sales of pumpkin-flavored goods will still bring in $414 million this year.
See, I could see pumpkin a little bit on pizza because, for me, the sweetness of the tomato in the pizza could help with the transition. Hawaiian pizza has pineapple on it. It's kind of sweet. So I could see that.
They say that savory and sweet mixes together. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have to taste test.
Not sure I go out of my way to order it, but...
Right. You're buying.
13 minutes in front of the hour.
Loans are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
I was making great progress on building my savings, but then I get hit with an unexpected car repair bill.
Keeping a close eye on my credit score allowed me to buy my first house, but an unexpected medical emergency set me back.
When the unexpected happened, Avant was there to help. If you need to borrow $1,000 to $35,000, try Avant. It's fast, simple, and transparent.
Everything is done online. There are no prepayment fees, and no collateral is required. And you can instantly check your rate with no impact to your credit score.
Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. And now, Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your rates and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 4747 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 4747. Go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 4747.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday. Silicon Valley is rising. Mobile Americans are flocking to the Sun Belt, but most of the best colleges and universities in the U.S. remain rooted in the Northeast. The latest rankings come from the Wall Street Journal and Times Higher Education, which is based in London. Harvard topped this year's list, and about a mile down the street, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology earned a tie for third place. Columbia, Yale, University of Pennsylvania, Princeton, and Cornell took five of the top 10 spots. They're all within 400 miles of Harvard. Stanford, Duke, and the California Institute of Technology rounded out the top 10. The rankings, by the way, also reveal some relative bargains at public universities. The top-ranked public institution, UCLA, came in at number 25. University of Michigan reached number 27. And UNC Chapel Hill rounded out the top three public universities at number 33. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Fordham President Trump and congressional Republicans have unveiled the first major revamp of the nation's tax code in a generation. The $6 trillion cut would deeply reduce levies for corporations, simplify everyone's brackets, and nearly double the standard deduction used by most people. Trump calls it a win for the middle class.
By eliminating tax breaks and loopholes, we will ensure that the benefits are focused on the middle class, the working men and women, not the highest income earners.
That's not the view of Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Under this plan, the wealthiest Americans and wealthiest corporations make out like bandits, while middle-class Americans are left holding the bag.
There are also major questions about how it would be paid for and how much it might add to the soaring $20 trillion national debt. Hugh Hefner, the silk pajama-wearing founder of Playboy who helped steer nudity into the mainstream, has died at the age of 91. Hefner, father of the trailblazing brand that encouraged a loosening of sexual strictures, died in his famed Playboy mansion. His son Cooper called Hefner a media and cultural pioneer and a leading voice behind some of the most significant social and cultural movements of our time in advocating free speech, civil rights, and sexual freedom. President Trump says he's weighing permitting foreign flag vessels to ship relief supplies from U.S. ports to storm-ravaged Puerto Rico. The comment came after a group of House Democrats and Republican Senator John McCain asked Homeland Security to waive the restrictions contained in a 1920 law called the Jones Act. San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulon Cruz says the situation is dire.
What's out there is total devastation, total annihilation, people literally gasping for air.
Another major problem for island residents is that money is now running out. There are long lines at the banks that are open and few operating ATMs. 14 years after the infamous wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl, it looks like Justin Timberlake will be back. U.S. Weekly reports that JT is finalizing a deal to be the halftime performer on February 4th. The NFL says no decision has been made yet on the halftime show.
He is good. He can do
if it can't be Bruno Mars, I'm okay with Justin Timberlake.
Or Lady Gaga, who I would prefer in a repeat performance. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Deshaun Watson is earning rave reviews as the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans. The rookie from Clemson made a collection of impressive plays in the Texans' near upset of the Patriots last weekend. And as NFL.com says, a recent act of charity has reinforced the notion that the Texans are in business with a different type of young star. This week, Watson split up his first game check and turned over his earnings to three Texans employees who work in the team cafeteria and lost everything in Hurricane Harvey. Dabo Swinney, his coach at Clemson, said prior to the draft that any team that passed on Deshaun Watson would eventually experience the same regret that haunted NBA teams that passed on Michael Jordan. Swinney was taken not only by Watson's football ability, but also by his quarterback's maturity, commitment, and ability to create a positive culture. As NFL.com says, he may not become Jordan-like, but the Texans seem to be in very good hands with Watson as the new face of the franchise. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.